Welcome. Welcome.
Do frogs in helium get squeaky? It's the Improbable Research Podcast. I'm Mark Abrams, editor of the magazine Annals of Improbable Research. This is all about, well, mostly about research that makes people laugh, then think. If you like what you hear today, consider supporting us at our website, improbable.com. Here's biologist and bioelectrical explorer Danny Adams. Danny, what's the title of this study?
Frogs in Helium. The aneurin vocal sac is not a cavity resonator.
What is that word, aneurin?
Kind of amphibian that doesn't have a tail.
Such as?
Such as a frog.
And it's spelled?
A-N-U-R-A-N.
Read the title again,
okay,
now that we know that word.
Frogs in Helium. The aneurin vocal sac is not a cavity resonator.
Really?
Really. The vocal sac, which is just literally the sac that they use to produce their calls.
This is something that's built in. This is not a sac they carry around with them on their back or in their hand.
This is in their throat, and they use it to make those calls that make country nights so lovely.
When it says cavity resonator, what is that?
So resonance is when the mechanical properties of something literally begin to wiggle back and forth, and that helps shape the sound that comes out of them. What this study shows is that these vocal sacs are not doing that.
Who wrote this?
A. Stanley Rand of the...
Which Stanley Rand?
A.
First
initial A. Stanley Rand from the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute in Panama. And Robert Dudley, also from, it's actually called STRI, but he's also in the Department of Zoology at the University of Texas at Austin.
This was published in a scientific journal. What journal and about when?
In 1993 in Physiological Zoology.
That's the title of the journal.
That's the title of the journal.
Is this a journal you ever read?
I have read it in the past, but not so much anymore.
Fun reading?
Always. Zoology is great.
Let's take a look at what they say here.
A total of 5 Physalamius pustulosis, 4 Hyla ebricata, 2 Hyla microcephala, and 2 Bufo marinus were used to...
Before you go any further, Let me interrupt you. There may somewhere be somebody who doesn't know some of those words you just mentioned.
Okay, these are the scientific names of the 4 species of frogs that they worked with. The first species is Physalamus pustulosus.
And the name of the second,
kind of frog? Is Hyla ebricata.
And the third kind of frog?
Hyla microcephala.
And the fourth kind of frog?
Bufo marinus. And I can tell you that the hylas are the little tree frogs, And bufos are the frogs that we think of, like the leopard frog or bullfrog.
And how this passage read dramatically.
A total of 5 P. pustulosus, 4 H. ebricata, 2 H. microcephala, and 2 Bufo marinus were used to investigate effects of gas composition on call acoustics. The Bufo and Hyla were used within 30 minutes of capture in the field. The locally obtained P. pustulosus performed better when kept for several days in the laboratory prior to use.
Could you translate that into a sentence or two of plain English?
Most of the frogs that they used, they captured them, and then within 30 minutes, they changed the composition of gases inside the vocal sac and listened to them talk.
When you say they changed the composition of gases within the vocal sac, plain English, please.
They took out the air that was in there when they captured them, and they put in air made of different combination of gases.
Into the little place.
Into that little sac.
That's not what was happening here. They didn't inject it into the sac.
Well, we haven't gotten to that yet. I don't know what they did
yet. Right, so you're taking a guess here.
I'm taking a guess. My guess is that they put them in a container where the air had been replaced by something other than the normal air that the frogs would breathe.
Do go on with the dramatic reading here, please.
Male frogs were placed individually in 0.025 millimeter thick plastic bags. The bags were fully inflated with either normal air or heliox, which is 80% helium and 20% oxygen. For all species except Bufo marinus, conspecific advertisement calls were played through small speakers to elicit vocalization. Release calls in B. marinus were evoked by grasping the animals behind the forelegs through the plastic bag.
We have then frogs in plastic bags.
Yes.
With air, or sometimes with air that's not regular air. It's got a lot of helium in it. It's
correct.
Funny air.
It's funny air.
And you've got the scientists either playing some sounds through speakers at these frogs, sounds of other frogs croaking at them. Or in the case of one kind of frog, the scientists were pinching the frog's legs through the bags.
Yes, they were grabbing the frog through the plastic bag. Exactly.
They wanted some consistency, so they did this a bunch of times.
Typically, in excess of 20 calls were recorded from each animal in each of the two gas mixtures. The bag was then untied, deflated, and reinflated with Heliox, a procedure that was repeated several times.
They did this with frogs, and they also did it with something else.
In order to confirm the effects of gas composition on cavity resonance, a bulb-activated bamboo whistle was recorded in a plastic bag filled with air and with Heliox.
A bulb-activated bamboo whistle. What's that?
I would think that is a whistle made of bamboo onto which they have attached a squeeze bulb so that they could squeeze it in the bag and make it call.
It's a bamboo whistle with a bulb in a plastic bag filled with helium and a little oxygen. What happened?
In none of the aneurin species tested did either the dominant frequency or energy of higher frequencies shift substantially upward in Heliox relative to a normal atmosphere.
Stop and translate, please.
That means that nothing changed. The frogs sounded exactly the same, whether it was regular air or whether they were breathing in lots of helium at the same time.
This is very different than what would happen if you took a human being, stuck the human being in a bag with a lot of helium.
That's absolutely true.
The human being would squeal.
Would squeak very high.
In any way you look at it.
Yes, for all sorts of reasons. The human would squeal, yes.
What happened to the bamboo whistle in the bag?
By contrast, the frequency of the bamboo whistle shifted significantly upward in Heliox by approximately 78%.
So the bamboo whistle was behaving much the way a person would behave.
I agree. That's correct, yes.
But the frogs were behaving, well, like frogs, not like bamboo whistles or people.
Yep.
And that's what they discovered in this experiment.
That is what they discovered.
At the end of the paper, the scientists talk about what this seems to mean to them.
In contrast to humans and several species of passerine bird.
Bird?
Passerine means they stand on branches. They hold onto branches and perch on branches.
They seem to be saying that somebody else somewhere
not
did this
you.
Kind of thing with birds.
Yes.
They had
yes, that's
birds
the implication.
Singing in helium-filled air.
Correct. Aneurons vocalizing in Heliox do not display a substantial upward shift in call dominant frequencies or in energy distribution across the frequency spectrum relative to vocalization in normal air.
What do they mean here when they're talking about frequencies and energy distribution?
The frequency of a sound is the pitch, and the energy is how loud it is.
How does energy relate to what the frogs were or were not doing?
What they're saying is that the helium did not change what pitch the frogs were using or how loud they could call.
Frogs don't seem to care whether there's helium or not.
Apparently not. They seem to compensate.
Oh,
okay. I have a better idea. Okay.
One last thing.
Yes.
Do you happen to have any skill at imitating a frog croaking?
I do have one frog impression. That's the best I can do.
Is that a particular species or maybe even a particular frog that you learned that from?
It's a frog that it's in Connecticut. That's all I know. I hear it at night in Connecticut.
What's it sound like again? Now imitate that frog if that frog were in a plastic bag filled with helium. Sounds the same.
That's what this important study has shown.
You've been listening, if you've been listening, to a genuine episode of the Improbable Research podcast. I invite you to subscribe to the magazine, The Annals of Improbable Research. 6 new issues a year. Get yourself some back issues, too. Also, get lots of details about the Ig Nobel Prizes, upcoming events, what's in the magazine, and about how you can help be part of it via our Patreon. All of this at our website, improbable.com. It's possible that Seth Glicksman is the improbable production assistant. Next time on this podcast, we'll look at something or other. Until then.
Goodbye. Goodbye.